I want to say that that was lovely singing tonight by the choir here in Macrofeld. Really appreciated your messages and song. We have listened to some of them before on the computer during times when we couldn't come out to our own church, but it's nice to be here in person and to hear that lovely singing this evening. But I also say that I'm indebted to the Reverend Ryan McKay for the invitation to come along and be part of your harvest service. I haven't been speaking in Macrofeld for a long time now. I know that the last time I was here was a deputation meeting for Bridlington, and that is 20 years ago from I was here, and I'm certainly glad to be with you tonight. I have to say that I'm looking at a lot larger congregation than what I'm used to, but I want to thank you as well for your kind words tonight already, for the warm welcome that I have received, and we're glad that the Lord has been blessing you here during your harvest season. Also to those who have decorated the church, it's looking really well, quite like our own really. We get a lot of decoration done and really make the church look really well. It's looking very well indeed tonight. I would like you to turn please with me in your Bible this evening to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Going to read a few verses at the very beginning of the chapter and then go down to near the end of chapter 13. So it's Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. And then if you just go down, please, to verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? We'll end our reading there, and we trust that the Lord will add his own divine blessing to the public reading of his word. Could we just unite your hearts, please, together in prayer? I promise you, I won't keep you too long tonight, but we need the Lord's help with what we do say. And we're going to look to him now in prayer, please. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do thank you again just now for the return of the Lord's Day. Thank you for the Lord's Day evening service here. And Lord, we thank you for this harvest time here in Macrofeld. Thank you too for the word that has been opened last evening and this morning as well. And now again, as we come together, we want to thank you for what we've heard already by way of singing. And we look now to the scriptures. We ask for the unique ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, that hearts might be spoken to, that the Lord might deal with men. And Father, we pray, we pray that even in this gathering this evening, that there would be long prayed for individuals who would come and trust the Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that we meet in great comfort tonight. And Lord, we spare a thought for the many who are less privileged across the world. We pray for them that you would meet their need. And Lord, tonight we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask that the Lord would undertake for the people of Israel. And Father, just now as we look to thee, we do pray that you would undertake for us. Give wisdom in what we say, for we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. Long ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ called the disciples to follow him, he said to certain of them words that apply to every believer. He said, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And you and I, believer, being fishers of men, we are somewhat like a net. And it's quite interesting when you look through the Word of God and you see what we read there concerning the fisherman's net. Sometimes you see men, or you read of men, and they were mending their nets. And what are nets? Not nets, someone said, are a lot of nothings that are tied together. And that is true when you think of it. And what a picture there is there of you and I, who are nothing of ourselves, and yet we're brought together by grace and united in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are a net for him. And sometimes we need mended. One of the best ways to do that is to wait upon the Lord, whether it is emotional stress or some other kind of a difficulty, to wait prayerfully before him. When you think of the nets, you think also of damage to the net causing the fish to escape. And that is a very solemn thought. We want to ensure that we continue as far as unity is concerned and the net stays intact and none of the fish get away. But another thought regarding the net and you and I who are fishers of men, it's the thought that an unclean net will frighten the fish away. In my own congregation in Achillea this morning, I happened to mention for a moment or two Samson and the mighty man that he had been. And then the time came when he got associated with Delilah, and eventually she got him to divulge the secret of his great strength. And then he went out, the Bible says, as at other times, and he wist not, or he knew not, that the Lord had departed from him. As far as he was concerned, he was not the man that he used to be. And you and I, as God's nets, are as a great net tied together, we can be very useful to the Lord. We watch out to make sure that there's no tears in that net, but we make sure also that the net is clean and not something that might frighten the fish away. I believe that after that, for the vast majority of the remainder of his days, Samson was of very little use to the Lord. But together, you and I this evening, we have been reading here in one of the parables of Christ's about a net. And in the Bible, there are nets that are known for that men use them to throw out from the shore. That is one of the kind of fishing that there was in the book of Isaiah and in Habakkuk. You read about angling, and that is the kind of fishing that I would do from time to time with a rod. But the fishing we're looking at here tonight in the verses that we read together is the use of a draw net. And there would be some similarities, many similarities between it and a trawler, because when the net is let down, then the trawler would move along, albeit a lot faster today than it would have in those days because it had no engines. But nonetheless, it would gather up the fish. And this evening in this harvest service, could I say we're glad to be here, and I want to speak to you about a harvest from the sea. A harvest from the sea. I have some simple points that I want to leave with you. Could I mention, first of all, that there is here a common journey. A common journey. If you look in verse 47, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind." We mentioned there to you that the net that was been brought along now behind the boat was known as a dragnet. It would gather everything in its path. Everything in its path would be brought along by the net. There could be mackerel there. There could be pollock. There could be cod. There could be wrasse. There could be all kinds of fish that would be gathered up in this net. And they would be irresistibly brought along together until the net was full. And then when the net was full, the next part of the process would begin. And folks, every one of us gathered here this evening, and everyone outside as well, We are on a common journey. And in this portion before us this evening, the net reminds me of time. And time is irresistibly carrying you and I, all of us, all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, carrying us along on a journey to eternity. And on that journey to eternity, we are on a journey that the Bible assures us is brief. Very often I think of where I used to live before I went to Bridlington, to the church there at Annaghmore. Now, not the Annaghmore down at Castle Dawson, but the other one out near Loch Awe. And sometimes in the morning, when you would look out the back window of where our house was, you would look out across what really was a bog area, and there was a very thick mist, so thick that you would feel that you could stand on it. But if you went back even just a few minutes later, very often that mist was totally gone. It looked so real, so substantial, it had such a look of solidity about it, and yet it was gone so quickly. And that is what James tells us about life. For he says that our life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. We need to always bear that in mind. But friends, tonight we're all on a common journey. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 4, it says over here in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, but the path of the just, or the justified person, the man or woman or boy or girl who are saved, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Some of the lovely pieces that the group have been singing tonight, there were words that reminded us of that perfect day. And those of us who are justified are on a journey and anticipating that perfect day. Now, we're on that journey and anticipating that perfect day because we came by faith to the light, that is Christ. Therefore, we walk in the light. And one day, we will be with the light. But there's another verse, verse 19. It says, the way of the wicked, and that is just a term that is often used in the Bible to describe those who do not know the Lord. The way of the wicked is as darkness. People don't like that. It may not be politically correct, but we don't worry too much about that. That's what the Bible says. It says the way of the wicked is as darkness. And again, that is something that would cause each and every one of us to consider this journey that we're on. And to consider if we're on the path of the just or in the way of what the Bible calls wicked. Over in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we read here about two ways. One journey, but two ways. It says in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's one way. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Where it says there, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, the reference here is, we believe, to a little, like a little gorge, just like a little gate. And in the east, in the cities, in some of them, very often come evening time, the main gate would be closed. And there would be still a little gate for those who were traveling late in that direction. And a man could come along there in the evening when the main gate was closed with his camel or his camels. And he sometimes had quite a lot of work to do to get the camel through the little gate. And yes, its name was the Needle's Eye. And hence we have the saying that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's the little gateway than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not because he's rich, but because his riches are on the throne of his heart so often. So here in Matthew 7 and in these two verses, folks, there are two ways. And I have to say today that it seems to me that there still is, and there always has been, a great attraction about the broad way. As I said, I come from Annaghmore, and if you know where that is, well, it's not too far from a place called the Birches. And a good number of years ago down at the Birches, there was a gospel campaign, and the invited preacher along was a man called Leonard Ravenhill. Some of you will have heard of him. He wrote the book called Why Revival Tarries, which has sold over 1 million copies worldwide. But he was there as the evangelist. And people around that area were very expectant regarding the mission. And many people had been invited along. So many people had been prayed for by their families and their friends. All of them were traveling along together, people who loved each other in families. Some were just saved, and some were still not saved. And they invited so many to that mission. And when Ravenhill was preaching there, the Lord used him. And there actually a man I know, and his grandparents were saved at that mission. And there were many others who were saved. People who were from irreligious backgrounds. There were people who had been quite notorious in their living. In fact, there's one man, and when he came into the mission, people thought he was there to cause trouble because that's what he was good at. And they thought he was probably half drunk and there for a fight. But he came in to seek the Lord, and he found him. But men and women, when that mission was over, while there were many who had sought the Lord, there were many who hadn't. And so they all continued on the journey. And being from that part of the world, people have told me stories of those who were prayed for and pleaded with. And they were told clearly that they needed to get off the broad road and onto the narrow way. And they died without leaving any profession of having done that. And if you fast forward to 2023, very little seems to have changed. But there's still one common journey, and there's still two pathways. Over there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, the Lord again used words that modernists might not like. But in the word in Matthew 10, it says, in verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. This is Christ. I come not to send peace, but a sword. A sword. Did that mean that he would come along and shed blood? Or go out to bring slaughter to those that he simply did not like? It meant nothing like that. It meant that by him and the preaching of his word, there would be division, because there would be people who would be rescued from their sin. They would come as they were to him, resting on him, relying on him, and they would be redirected in their lives. But there would be others that would not come. And so often, and we're thankful when unsaved people come along to meetings. We recently had our own harvest, and we also had, just last week, we had a week of mission with Noel Shields and Colin Maxwell. It was very well attended for us. We're a small congregation, but we were really pleased with the attendance. People come in on the journey, on the common journey. Most were on the narrow way. They had trusted Christ. But some were not. And as far as I know, they're still not. And you know, they were respectful people and civil people. And some of the ones that I knew were very kind people. But nonetheless, they continued as they were. Reminds me of words found over in Jeremiah 44. If you know a little bit about Jeremiah, you will know that he was faithful in preaching, but not many wanted to listen. And in Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 16, those who he has been speaking to, they have this to say to him. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, they give him that. They don't say this is nonsense or you're beside yourself. What are you on about? They say, the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord. And you would do that too. You would not hear anyone else say that the Reverend McKee preached anything other than the word of God. But they go on and they say here, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Hearken simply means to give heed to something. We will not hearken unto thee. And folks, you may have, and individuals may have all kinds of excuses today. But having come to meetings like this, don't you think that it will be very difficult to find an excuse on Judgment Day? Because in the verses we were reading earlier on tonight, it says there in verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Very difficult to find an excuse then. When you heard that Jesus saves, you heard of the work of the cross, and maybe more occasions than one, we are sitting tonight, and you've heard that you need to be born again. We're all on one common journey. And it's pictured here in this net that goes along and gathers up everything in its path. But there's not just the common journey. There is the categorizing. Again, that's not something that is politically correct, but that doesn't change the fact of it. Categorizing verse 48 and 49, I'll read them quickly, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. You see, whenever you bring in, and perhaps you've watched Trawler Men on television, not that I watch a lot of television, but I have seen that. Trawler Men, and they will bring in the net, and you will see they'll be gathering up all the cod and anything that is good and putting it into the boxes. But every now and again, you'll see them lifting a fish and they'll throw it back into the sea because it's perhaps bitter. Maybe it's even the kind of fish that would make you ill if you ate it. And they cast them all back into the sea because one word sums them up, they are not acceptable. And there we have again here in this categorizing the picture of Judgment Day. The word sever is used there. Again, we have this great division between those who have been on a common journey, but now they're separating. And one goes to be with Christ, another goes to hell without him. And folks, when you think of that Judgment Day picture that is here, there are things that immediately come to your mind, ascending away. Remember in Matthew 7 and 22, I'll just turn there quickly as I'm in that book, Matthew 7 and 22. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity means that which is not equal. And it's not equal when it's weighed in the balances of God. It's a picture of, it's a reminder of sin and its awful work and where it will bring men and women. And one day there will be that sending away. Was it Abraham Lincoln who was a judge before he was the president? And one day he was out in his carriage, and as he was traveling along, he saw the ploughboy. Maybe you've heard the story. Bears repetition. And the ploughboy lost control of the horses, the team of horses, and he was being caught. He was caught up in the machinery. And Lincoln, he instructed his carriage driver to try to get the horses stopped, and they managed to do that and saved his life, probably. And not a terribly long time after that, Lincoln was a judge, or when Lincoln was still a judge, that young man was brought into court and accused of a heinous crime. And the jury came in, and the representative stood and told the judge, that is Lincoln, he said, "We find the defendant guilty." So Lincoln asked him to stand to his feet. And he stood to his feet, and Lincoln said to him, "You are found guilty, and I sentence you to death." Couldn't believe it. Shouted out in front of everyone, "But Mr. Lincoln, do you not remember me?" Not very long ago, when he named the time, I don't know what it was, he said, "You saved me from under the plow." And Lincoln said, "I recognized you. But the difference is, on that day I was your savior, but today I am your judge." And folks, Christ will save you tonight. But remember Matthew 17:31. Or Acts 17:31. "God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." Christ will save you tonight. But if you're not saved and you die as you're now living, then there will be this sending away. Doesn't bear thinking about. That's why people pray for you, because they love you. And they not just love you as a person, they love your soul for eternity. Verse 50 in the verses we read earlier says, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." There's not just sending away, there's suffering. I could stand here all night, and I still couldn't aptly explain how bad it would be. Men and women, just believe the Bible. "There shall be weeping there and wailing and gnashing of teeth." There shall be suffering, but there shall be staying. The Bible does not teach final reconciliation. In other words, to die and go and hope for the best, and somehow or other when you stand before the Lord that you'll be reconciled then. If we're going to be reconciled to God, we must be reconciled now. Yes, I know there are some people who don't believe that, but again, we're back to the Word. And the very last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22 of the book of Revelation and verse 11, brings us forward to that very time. And this is what it says. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still." A day of no change. You die without Christ. Folks, you stay without Christ. And the categorizing, remember, it is not my assumption, it is what the Bible is teaching. Some years ago, quite a few years ago now, maybe, well, I don't know how many years ago it is, when I was living in Yorkshire, we went up to Berwick-on-Tweed. And my purpose of going up to Berwick-on-Tweed was to hunt for geese. And when we went to the man who knew about the geese, he brought us away to this middle of nowhere in East Lothian. And we came to a flooded potato bottom. And we were there because a couple of miles away, the geese were roosting, and whenever the moon came up full that night, the geese would start flying to the potato bottom to feed on the rotten potatoes, which the ground was a little bit flooded as well. It was ideal for them. And we were there, and I went up, and he said, there's a couple of other fellas here, and I'll put you with them. I was put with a fella from Halifax in England. And I noted right away that whenever we were out in the field that he talked all the time. And sure enough, I was put with him, and he began talking right away. And I have to say, he was very nice, very pleasant, but he said to me, really, what do you do? And I said, I'm a minister. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, I'm a gospel minister. He said, oh. He said, well, how did you get to do that? And I said, well, in 1986, and give him the date, I said, I came as a sinner and trusted the Lord. And then I began working, doing bits that I could. And then eventually the Lord led me to this. He said, yes, I know. To my amazement, he said that, because he told me after that that there was not a night that he could go to bed without whiskey. Such was his trouble in his mind. And he said to me, oh, I know what you mean about being saved. He said, I've got born-again friends. And he said, they're often telling me that there are those who are saved who will go to heaven, and those of us who are not, we will go to hell. This was in Halifax in England. And I said, well, those are good friends of yours. And in that discussion with him, he's one of those individuals that every now and again I think of him. And out there, down on the flooded potato bottom, as we waited for the geese to come and the widgeon, I had the opportunity to witness to him. And folks, all I could do was there, where I was, just offer a prayer to him, and prayed for him since, that the Lord would help him to come to the Lord, to believe his friends. And folks, there's someone here this evening, and your friends have told you too that you need to be born again. And you've seen the difference in their lifestyle. This man told me he had a motorbike shop. That's what he did. He sold Harley Davidsons. And he couldn't go to bed at night. He couldn't get to sleep without alcohol. And however far gone you are tonight, maybe you don't even touch alcohol. As far as the Lord is concerned, there are still two categories. Those who are just on the narrow way. Those who are lost on the broad way. You have to answer the question, where are you? There was the common journey here. Then that reminds us of time. There was the categorizing on this time down at the sea, this harvest from the sea. But finally and briefly, there is the crucial question in verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? In other words, do you get it? Do you get what I have been speaking about? In other words, there's great urgency here. There's certainty of eternity, and there's a danger of loss. And folks, in all harvests, there is some loss, even in good years. I saw a barley field. I was actually in it just last week. And down at the very bottom, a farmer I know, down at the bottom of the field, the bit was really, really wet, and it hadn't been cut because it was too wet. And it's going black now. It's lost. At all harvests, there is some loss. And in the harvest that we're looking at here in Matthew 13, there's going to be loss. Now, you don't want to be part of that loss. You don't want to be part of that loss. Therefore, there is urgency about your case. And I wonder, do you understand? As Christ asked the question here, have you understood all these things? This seems simple enough. Time's bearing you and I along faster than we care to think. Bearing us along to eternity. It's a common journey, but two categories. Lost and saved. And you need to take heed now. You need to take heed tonight. Again, some years ago when I was still in Dungannon Church, where I worshipped before I went into the ministry, I was out on outreach, and there was myself and another man were going around the doors. There was other people there too, but we were together and we're taking turns at knocking the door. And I went to this house, and the gentleman was out in the garden. And I have to say, I was very optimistic about my conversation with him because of how he presented himself and how he said hello and began speaking with him and talked about general things. And then I said, I'll not take too much of your time. We're giving out some gospel literature here because we're having a gospel mission. There's also an invitation if you would like to come along. Could I leave it with you? And he said, no. But I was amazed, and I said, okay then. And just as I want to walk off, I said to him, I says, I'm not being rude or intrusive, but why wouldn't you take the literature at all? Is there any reason why you wouldn't? Would you like to tell me? And he said, if I take that literature from you, it's going to tell me that I need to be what you call saved. And he just looked at me and I said, that's right. And he then gave me a whole catalogue of things that he had done and things he was involved in. And folks, I would like him for my neighbour. He was a good man, a decent individual. But in the eyes of the Lord, he was lost. And I said, well, do you want me to explain, you know, exactly what I mean? He says, no, I've heard it all before. I said, I don't want the literature. And I said, well, I says, I just warned you that we all need to get right with the Lord. And I didn't want an argument with him, and I headed out to the gate. And then he shouted after me, and I was young then because he shouted, young man. And I looked round, and I'll never, ever, as long as I live, forget his words. He looked at me, he said, I will take my chance. I've thought about him so often over the years. He wasn't young then. And he said he would take his chance. Your thoughts are probably similar at the moment, some of you. Going to take a chance and go out tonight again without the Lord. Another harvest season, another time of special opportunity, special emphasis on reaping. When we mention and thank the Lord for the harvest that's brought in, but remember what we mentioned just now, there's always some loss. In every harvest, we don't want your soul to be lost, but we want you to be brought in. And if you consider tonight the harvest from the sea, please don't blot out the fact that we're on that journey, that time bearing us along irresistibly. Don't be foolish enough to think that the Lord doesn't see the saved and the unsaved differently. But do you understand the urgency of your case? I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts that I've shared with you in Macrofield tonight, even to the salvation of your soul. And I want to thank you for listening. I hand back now to the Reverend McKee.